Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. This message was recorded on June 21st, 2015, and is given by our guest speaker, Evangelist Roger Smets, and is entitled, The Legacy of a Father.
Well, friends, good morning once again. Pastor Paul here. Thanks for being here at Hope Chapel, and thank you to that friend that brought you here. And if you came by yourself, thank you, Holy Spirit, for summoning us here. Well, what a delight, because for me, as Father's Day, I get a chance to receive ministry, and we have a special guest who has been a frequent flyer here at Hope Chapel, Evangelist Roger Smets. And man, what a gift he's been, along with his wife, Gwen. Gwen, there you are right there. You just raise your hand in case you haven't had a chance to meet them. How many remember when our church went through our annual theme of 09, which was Scripture is Mine in 2009? We were memorizing Scripture. We were applying that Scripture. And then we brought Roger Smets here. And as you know, his ministry as a four-square evangelist for well over 40 years, he has committed hundreds of Scriptures to memory and then ministers that Scripture or Scriptures to individuals. So what a gift he's been to our movement. What a faithful couple they have been, not only to churches around our nation, as well as Canada and overseas, but we have them here this wonderful Father's Day. And so I want to just with you, would you just welcome with me our guest, Evangelist Roger Smets, as he comes to minister word. Roger, way to go, man. This is exciting. Very exciting.
Well, bless the Lord. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Gwen and I are honored to be with you here again at Hope Chapel, and so grateful for Pastor Paul and Ainsley and the other staff that have invited us to come. And I don't take that lightly when a pastor allows us to come and to serve in the house of the Lord. And I believe this morning, God has a word for you, a word that will keep you, a word that will hold you, a word that will empower you, and a word that will release you to embracing all that God has for you in the kingdom. When it comes to the things of God, how many want everything God has for you? Amen. Well, bless the Lord. This morning, I'm going to be talking about how you and how me can have a divine legacy in serving the Lord. A legacy is something that follows behind us, where there is the clear sign of something that's following where we've been. And folks, I can tell you that my desire is that in God's time in my life, I will be able to create a godly legacy. Amen? A godly legacy. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms chapter 22, verses 4 and 5. I'll read these verses for you. Psalms 22, verses 4 and 5. It says, Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and they did and were delivered. Next verse 5 says, and they cried out unto thee and were delivered, and they trusted in thee and were confounded and were not confounded. The scripture begins by declaring that these fathers, they were men who trusted God. They were those that put their faith in the Lord. And their faith was an open faith in God, not a secret kind of behind-the-scenes faith. No, a faith that was openly ready for any and all to know. And folks, I'll tell you what, I want my faith to be so known that people will say, I remember him. He's the guy that really talks about putting trust in God and serving the Lord, and whatever the heritage may be. Now, sometimes many of you may feel, well, I don't think I have a real legacy. I don't have anything in particular. In fact, I don't even know if I have a good legacy. Well, folks, I want you to know, you may have a lacking of ability in one area, but there's another area where every one of us, doesn't matter what your abilities are, every one of us have the ability to trust in God, to trust in the Lord. This is not a shared trust. This is not a trust that you can just divide apart, as it were. No. The Bible says, and we all know this passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, all of your heart, not part of your heart, but all of your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding. And so, first thing was that they trusted God. A second characteristic of those ones who put their faith in God is that they what? Verse 5, they cried unto the Lord. They cried unto God. Now, I want you to know that weeping or crying or tears is not a sign of spiritual weakness. Some think that, well, we remember we always hear the saying, big men don't cry. Ever heard that? Big men don't cry. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus was a big man, and he cried. He wept. And folks, tears are not, like I said, they're not those expressions of weakness. They are an expression of divine dependence on the Lord. Psalms 126, verse 5 says, they that sow in tears are going to reap in joy. They that sow in tears. When it says that they that sow in tears, the sowing of the tears means that your tears are not wasted. How many know that God sees and knows every tear you've ever shed? And so I thank the Lord for that. Now, in the scriptures, we find many examples of those that cried out to the Lord. And one of them is the Apostle Peter when he began to walk on the water unto Jesus. Let me share with you and remind you of the scenario. The Bible teaches that Jesus came walking on the water. And Peter, it was a very stormy night, and he couldn't see for sure was the Lord. And so he spoke out, and he said, Jesus, is that you? And the Bible says Jesus spoke and said, it is I, be not afraid. And then Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, you bid me or you call me to come onto the water. And the Bible says with that, Jesus said, come. Now you talk about getting a word from the Lord, that's the only word Peter got was come. But on the basis of that single word command from the Lord, Peter started climbing out of the boat, getting onto the water. And Peter did walk on water. But many of us condemn Peter because we know he lost his faith and began to sink. But folks, I want you to know, he did the right thing. When he began to sink, the scripture says he cried, Lord, save me, save me. In other words, God was gracious and he allowed Peter to have ample time to call on the Lord. Ample time. In other words, Peter, he recognized something was happening. When he got his eyes off of the Lord and onto the wind, the Bible says that Peter began to sink. Now, you know what my favorite word is in that passage? It's in Matthew 14, verse 30. It says, and beginning to sink, he cried, save me. I like that word beginning. Why? Because it speaks of the grace of God and the mercy of God. In other words, when Peter got his eyes off of the Lord didn't just say, Peter, that's it, you blew it. Next, please. Anybody else want to give it a shot? How many know that was not the heart of the Lord? It says, and immediately he cried, Lord, save me, and Jesus caught him. But because it says, and beginning to sink, that means the Lord allowed Peter to have a gradual descent. And as he began to go down and the water began to come up, Peter had time to say, you know what, something's going on here. I think I better cry out to the Lord. Save me! Save me! Aren't you glad that Jesus understands and knows simple prayers? As Peter was going down and the water is coming up, you won't find it to say in the scriptures that he spoke up and said, oh, Lord Jesus, Most High, note thou my distress. Extend unto me thy hand of mercy, O God. Man, if he had prayed a prayer like that, he'd have been gone. So he had only time to say, Lord, save me. He cried out, save me. Aren't you glad that God saved you? Aren't you glad that he had grace for you when he just said, Lord, save me? Folks, sometimes we come to a place in life where we recognize that God is my only hope. My only hope. I want you to know that's not a bad place to be because he is our only hope. And when Jesus is your hope, it doesn't matter how the circumstances are, you will overcome. Crying out to God produced many things. It says in Psalms 30, verse 2, that the disciples, or no, rather the fathers, it says that they cried unto the Lord and the Lord healed them. The Lord healed them. The Lord exercised healing because there was somebody who cried out unto the Lord. It says also regarding Jonah. Remember Jonah and the whale? The Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2 that from the belly of the whale, Jonah cried out. He cried out unto the Lord, and the Bible says, and the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him, even though he was in that the belly of the whale, the Lord heard Jonah cry out to God. And I could go through the Bible today, sight after time after time after time, and see the powerful benefit that happened to those ones who cried out to God. And so, folks, the scriptures confirm it. Also want you to see, in addition to this, that these men, these fathers, they were known to be men that were not confounded in their faith. It says in verse 4, or rather 5, it says, and these men, they were not confounded. Our fathers were not confounded. Now, what does that mean, that word confounded? It means that they were never disgraced, and they were never brought to a place of being, as I said, confounded or brought to a place of open shame. I want you to know, if you put your trust in God, you cry out to Him, I tell you, God will honor it. He will honor your faith in Him. He'll honor your decision. He'll give you favor, divine favor. I've been looking through the scriptures in recent days and begin to mark the places where we've been given divine favor from the Lord. You know what? You put your trust in God, you serve Him, and you'll have a divine favor. What about Psalms 84 and verse 11? It says, you trust in the Lord, and you walk in God's ways, and there'll not be one good thing that God will withhold from you because you chose to walk uprightly. Ephesians chapter 1 and 3 says, I, the Lord, I will grant you all spiritual blessings. So God has confirmed it, folks. Psalms 84 and 11, that God will see to it there's not going to be one good thing that He'll withhold from you. Ephesians 1 and 3, I'll give you all spiritual blessings. You know what that means in the end then? It means, bless God, you serve for the Lord and you walk in His ways, and guess what? You get it all. You get all of God's blessings, all of His fullness. And folks, I don't know about you, but when it comes to the blessings of God, I want it all. I want everything He has for me. And so the legacy is clear, that we would be like our fathers and that we would trust the Lord. We would find ourselves being delivered by God's hand, and we will not be confounded. We will not be brought to shame, but instead we'll be brought to divine favor before the Lord. I wonder this morning, maybe you're here and you'd say, you know, I don't feel like I've left much of a legacy behind. My life has been tossed to and fro, and sometimes you look at your life and you feel like the path behind you is a path of brokenness and failures and places where things didn't turn out the way you thought they could or should. How many ever found out that sometimes God, when you pray, He doesn't follow all your instructions? He doesn't do it your way, but He does it His way. And folks, it's true. Life is filled with so many things for which we need a God. We need a Lord. We can't make it without God. And I can tell you, folks, for every father that's here today, you don't have what it takes to be a godly man. You need a God. You need a Lord. You need a Savior that will enable you, amen, to be that man that God has for you. And not only for the brothers, but for all of us. For all the gals and sisters here as well. This is a word for us all today, folks. God wants us to be a people that live for the Lord, walk in His ways, and leaves a legacy behind. So when other generations would follow, they would say, what meaneth this? Oh yeah, this is the place where the Lord revealed Himself as my Lord and my Savior, and I put my trust in Him. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, I thank You for this word. I thank You, Lord, that You've called us to create a legacy. A legacy of trusting God and crying out to You and being not confounded no matter what, and to have an open faith that is undivided, a faith that is totally on You. Thank You, Lord, for that, I pray. Thank You, Lord, that You said in the Word that we're to trust in You with all of our heart. That means there'll be no part of our heart that can be given over to anything else for our trust. But Lord, we trust You. And we trust You alone. I wonder, while heads are bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you've never trusted God as a personal Lord and your Savior in your life. And And God is calling you to come to a place of sweet surrender. I can tell you, as I've traveled all over the nation for 4 decades now, the most precious thing I get to experience over and over is somebody giving their life to Christ, serving Him as Savior. And if you're here this morning, if that's you, let me just see your hand where you are. I'll pray for you. Amen. How about believers? How about those of you that do know the Lord, you love the Lord, but you find yourself struggling at times to be and do all that you know God wants you to do. And you recognize today that you need God's help. And you say, yes, that's me. And I see your hand now, all over the sanctuary. I got 2 hands up, folks. Oh, man. So we're gonna declare something today as we close. We're going to make a divine declaration with our lips. Because the Bible teaches in Job chapter 22 and verse 28 that when you speak a thing or when you declare a thing, that thing becomes established in you. When you speak a thing or declare it, that thing becomes established in you. And so that's why we're gonna speak it today. But it says in that scripture in Job 22 and 28 that when you speak a thing and declare it, King James says, or when you decree something, that's when you declare something as so. You affirm it with your lips as being that which is true. Oh, folks, get ready. We're going to decree a few words right now. Are you ready? Amen. Speak it with me then right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for calling me to embrace you that I might bear the marks of a divine legacy, of one of God's people that choose to live for God and to walk in your ways. And even though, Lord, there may be times of tears and sorrow, we know that you will bring us through. And in the end, we will overcome because of Romans chapter 8 and 28 that says, and we know that all things are going to work together for good because you love God and because you're called according to his purpose. Grant it, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Bless. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Before I step down this morning, I'm going to take what time's allowed to give personal words for some of you that need a prophetic promise from the Lord. And God has called me years ago to commit to memory hundreds and hundreds of Bible promises. And the Lord said, Roger, you do this, you memorize those scriptures, and I'm going to release you to speak my word like a language. And when you do, the Lord said, get ready. Strongholds are going to be broken in the name of Jesus. The Lord said the cast down ones will be lifted up, and those ones who had felt distanced from God were going to be drawn very close to his side. And I can tell you, folks, God has honored it again and again and again. I am a firm believer of Psalms 107 and 20, where the Bible says, and he sent his word and healed them. You know, when I was sharing the message this morning, I think about something that I wanted to mention but forgot. But I want you to know that, and particularly for the fathers today, that sometimes we have the opportunity of something that's uniquely a divine gift of blessing. I can tell you, a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago on Father's Day, my son, who's now pastoring a large church in San Diego, he came to me and he says, Daddy, I have a gift for you. I didn't see any present in his hand. He said, oh, no, this is a gift of my heart. He said, Daddy, I want you to know that I am grateful for the fact that because of your service and walk with God, that I've come to a place of conviction where I believe the word of God is the inspired word of the Holy Spirit. And he said, Daddy, you taught me. You taught me that the Bible is the unadulterated word of the living God. Amen. And so I thought, I'll take that. Hallelujah. Amen. So we want to pray. And where's our scribe? We got a scribe going on tonight? Oh, today? Yes. As I pray with some of you, you're going to get a scripture pad that just says an encouraging word from the Lord for you. And you can take those and mark your Bibles. And if you have your mini church later this week, you can tackle some of those verses that come and see how they apply for you. Amen. I want to begin with you, brother, right here. Would you stand? God bless you. What's your name?
Sean.
Sean. Let's pray for Sean. Father, I thank you for Sean. And I thank you, Lord, for Psalms 37 and 23, Sean, that says, the steps of a righteous man shall be ordered of the Lord. The Lord also says in Psalms 85, verses 12 and 13, the Lord says, I, the Lord, shall give you that which is good, and righteousness shall go before you, and I will set you in the way of my steps. And brother, I believe that you have a heart to hear and know the voice of God. That's why Isaiah 30 and 21 is God's word for you. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, get ready. Why? Because you're going to begin to hear a word from behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the left or the right. Brother, you're going to have divine directions. It's like as if the Lord's going to give you your own spiritual GPS. Amen. And he will show you the way. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says it. Jeremiah 33 and 3 says, you call upon me and I will show you. I will show you great and mighty things. Brother, you're going to begin to experience a divine revelation from God. And the reason God's doing that is because of your steadfastness and your love for the Lord and your desire to live for him. God says, I'm just going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. The scripture says when the disciples fished all night and caught nothing, Jesus told them to go out even deeper for a catch. And even though it didn't seem as though there was any hope, the Bible says that the disciples responded to Peter's word when he said, let's obey. And the scripture says the disciples, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. And when they had this done, they enclosed a multitude of fishes and their net began to break. Brother, get ready for your net to begin to break. Because you have chosen to obey the voice of the Lord your God. And you're going to walk in God's ways. And the Lord says, you do that. And I will bless you on every side. You won't have a container big enough to hold the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're hearing a word for someone and you're thinking, gosh, I sure wish that word was for me. All you got to do is just say, Lord, I receive it. I receive it. Sometimes when I'm praying with somebody, I'm hearing words myself, and I think, man, I'll take that word. Well, thank you, Lord. Amen. And I have to be honest with you, brother. I ripped off a few of your verses, so that's okay. Amen. God is so good, and his word prevails in Jesus' name. I want to pray for our sister right here. Would you come? Let me pray for you. What's your name?
Terry,
let's pray for Terry. Father, I thank you for Terry. And Terry, the Lord just dropped this word in my heart for you. I don't know what it is that God is really defining, but here's what the Lord's saying. Isaiah 40, verse 31, you know it. It says, they that wait upon the Lord, as you have, they that wait upon the Lord are going to renew their strength. And you're going to mount up with wings like an eagle. And God says, get ready. You're going to run and not be weary. And you're going to walk and not faint in Jesus' name. And I pray for a divine steadfastness for you, where the Bible teaches that God will enable you to overcome in Jesus' name. The Lord confirms today that, as we said already, Psalms 20, verse 7, some would trust in chariots and some in horses, but not you. You're going to trust in the living God. And you've been believing God and you've been endeavoring to hear his voice. And the Lord says, be prepared to hear and know my voice. For I, the Lord your God, have spoken it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. His mercies are new every morning. That's why we need to stay close to God's word to keep our faith renewed and restored from day to day in Jesus' name. I'll pray for you, brother. Would you stand? What's your name we met earlier?
Mark.
Mark. Let's pray for Mark. Father, I thank you for Mark, and I thank you, Lord, for the gift of success. I don't know what you do for a living, brother, but the Lord's saying in Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy chapter 30, in verse 9, it says, I will make plenteous the work of your hands and the labor of your body. God says, get ready because everything you touch is going to be divinely blessed. The Lord says in Romans 15 and 13 that God is a God of hope who will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. What I'm hearing, brother, is that get ready, God's going to cause you to abound. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. The Lord also says today in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, here's your assignment. You be steadfast, Mark. Be steadfast and immovable and always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not going to be in vain. God says, this day I grant you the heart of David. For you as David shall declare it, Psalms 27 and 8, when you said to me, Lord, seek your face, I said unto you, thy face, O God, I will seek. And Psalms 27 and 14 says, you seek the Lord with all your heart. You trust in him. And the Lord confirms, again, Psalms 27 and 8, that you'll become strong and of a good courage. And the Lord, he will strengthen your heart. In Jesus' name. God bless you, Mark. Amen. 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 I just want to, before we close, just to openly declare a few more verses, just openly. And if you're hearing one of these words to bless you, just say, right, say, I receive it. I receive it with your lips, and God will bless it. Amen. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, right now. I thank you, Lord, for your word that causes us to overcome. I thank you, Lord, for 1 John 5:4-5, that says, whoever has been born of God will overcome the world. But this is our victory, even our faith, that we will overcome. There's someone here, I believe, this morning who's been wrestling with fear. Some of you are finding it hard to sleep even at night. But the Lord says, no, tonight, in the name of Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give you that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, in Jesus' name. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that because of that, we are destined to overcome. 1 John 5:4-5, whoever has been born of God will overcome the world. For this is our victory, even our faith, that we will overcome. Hallelujah. I declare Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Any tongue that would rise up against you in judgment should be condemned. And Psalms 27:11 says, any evil intended against you, or any mischievous devices that even Satan would plan against you, he will not be able to perform it. And I declare Hope Chapel off limits to the evil one. Any demon, any work of darkness, anything of the enemy will find itself stalled at the door. Hallelujah. Not able to enter this place where we worship the Lord our God. Thank you, Lord, for these words. Thank you, Lord, that they will not return void, but they will accomplish what pleases you. Isaiah 58:11. Thank you, Lord, for these words in Jesus' name. And all the people again said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Any demon that was even thinking about walking in this door is somewhere 3 blocks down the street, I think, by now. Hallelujah, amen. Isn't God good? I want to mention a couple of things before I step down. We have in the entrance in the sanctuary a table of a variety of different ministry resources that we make available in our service. I want to highlight a couple of them for you. One of them is called Pursuing God. It's my latest teaching that we've done on the strongest I've ever been able to deliver. It is a subject called Knowing His Will, Knowing His Ways, and my favorite CD inside, Knowing the Word of God. It's the Word that sets the captives free. It's the Word that empowers us. It's the Word that looses us to embrace the miraculous. It's the Word of the living God. And for 4 decades, I've been preaching the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so that special CD set's available. Also, my wife, Gwen, is with me here this morning. We've had some difficulties in recent days where Gwen had a hip surgery and caused the formation of blood clots that have gone into her lung. and also into her heart. But have one some of the blood clots have gone all the way through her heart and out. So we're grateful for that. The doctor told us if any of those lodge in her heart, that she probably would not live. But we're grateful to have Gwen. And I'm personally grateful to have you, Gwen. I don't know what I'd do without this woman. She really helps cover all my places and bases for the ministry we've served in now for all these years. So anyway, Gwen's a very gifted pianist. And she put together a special CD called Heartfelt Hymns. And a number of the selections are words like Amazing Grace, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, The Old Rugged Cross, and more. And some of the songs are accompanied by a professional violinist that we went to in Chicago, Illinois. We sat down in a studio, and the violinist played along with Gwen. And my, what a beautiful, beautiful CD it turned out to be. So those are available today. Some people have taken these CDs on the music of Gwen's gifting that's at the piano, and they've gone to the hospitals, and they go to the places where there is a need for comfort. Do you know what the Bible says in Romans 15 and 4? It says, through the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And many of these old hymns remind us of the Scriptures. Amen. So if you want one of those sets, Gwen will be at the table and you can see her. Amen. Pastor Paul, would you come? Give the Lord a praise. I want you to wait. Let's do
that. Amen. Roger, thank you. What a gift you are, my friend. It's been a delight for Ainsley and me to host evangelists Roger Smets and Gwen Smets, and we're going to have a nice afternoon. Always admired this couple, over 40 years serving the Lord. You love hanging around people that just cherish the Word. They talk about the Word. They are standing on the Word. Here we have this occasion for many of you. This may be a brief occasion with them, but I just want to affirm, boy, they have served the Lord. They have relied upon the Scriptures. That impartation comes upon us, so thank you for your ability to say, I'm going to trust the Lord. Things do shift. Culture changes. Style alters. Isn't that true? Isn't it great to know that the Word of the Lord continues to be consistent, and it's powerful and effective? And so thank you, Roger. Thank you, Gwen, for today's ministry to us. Wanted to just welcome our worship team as they assemble. It'd be great to go out singing the final song. And if you're here, you know our custom. You might say, well, I'd love to be able to bless Roger and Gwen Smiths as they go to the next destination to minister around our nation or our Foursquare family. If that's the case, our ushers will be the back doors on your way out. If you want to, please participate in that love offering. And if you have a check, make it to Hope Chapel. We'll make sure it is combined with those others as well. So what a great day. Did you value our time together with Roger and Gwen? Would you let them know again how much we appreciate that? Well, let's stand to our feet, shall we? And then we'll sing, and I'm going to come back, pray you off a big blessing, and thank the Lord for your love to Him. Well, friends, thanks for coming to Hope Chapel. Let's pray off a great blessing. And before we do, honey, come on over here. If you had not had a chance to meet my wife, Ainsley, please do. You will love her as I do. And thank you, honey. This Friday marks our 33rd wedding anniversary. So we have, yep, thank you, thank you. Just love talking about my wife. It's my next greatest subject right after I'm finished talking about Jesus. So, and we have served the Lord together our whole lifetime in our married life, and it's been a real thrill. So when we take a look at this Smets and what they've done, it's just a delight. It's wonderful to associate and align yourself with people that have like-mindedness to say, we want to do good, not just for ourselves, but for others. That's a great life. If you're visiting Hope Chapel today, thank you. We want to welcome you back and hope that you took Josh's recommendation about filling out a blue card before you go. Please do. Please take that time, and we'd love to get better acquainted. We offer our services to you, and we also just, if you're not currently receiving my Monday mentoring moments, would you take your blue card and fill out your email? I'd love to connect with you at least once a week. It's just our delight to just say, hey, what's going on, and how can we sharpen each other's focus? Our world continues to just look different, but man, the Word of God, and man, like-minded, faith-filled people, thank you. And I want to just add this as well. We need a faith family. We really do. I mean, there's great churches throughout America, But you can only be at one place and say, that's my faith family. And this is that point with which, at this time in my life, God calls me to be a part of this group of people. And so as our faith family, just want to share, many of you are aware of Chris Pickens, how he suffered with ALS for many years. Thursday went home to be with the Lord. We want you to be aware of that. We don't know of any other funeral plans right now, but we want you to know that. Keep Michelle, his wife, and family in your prayers. His homegoing was marked by the family gathered around him. Scriptures were read, hymns were sung, and Chris's last words were that these last few years have been the richest of his life. Isn't that amazing? And so also Mark Scheib, Kathy Scheib, Mark's mother passed suddenly on Friday, so do keep Mark. He was here second service in your prayers as well. And finally, Doreen Rash. Doreen, raise your hand. Hi, Doreen. Doreen and Bill Rash, many of you know and love them. I thought they were only here for three pastors. They've actually been here for five pastors. Five. We weren't even born yet, were we, honey? Well, it's come to that time where their children, their adult children, are requesting them to come live with them. And so they are selling their property, and they'll be moving. And so on the 12th of July, we want to just send them off with the best blessing we can. We want you to be aware of that. And I also want you to be aware we're missing some tremendous gifts in Bill and Doreen. They've not only been our longest-serving mini-church shepherds, but Doreen in particular prays in this church for you Monday through Friday. So once we who are a part of the chapel prayer team, we go home 6 to 7 in the morning. We go home. She's here another two more hours praying for you. We're going to need somebody the Lord lays on their heart to pray. You say, well, I pray, but do you intercede for others? Many of you are here today because of people like Bill and Doreen. It's no mistake. God does not do anything except that his people pray first. So I'm always reminded how God's word said he was looking. God looked throughout all the world for a man who would stand in the gap and intercede for Israel, and he found none. He found no one. They're all doing their own thing, and pending judgment came upon Israel because somebody said, Lord, be merciful a little longer to the nation of America. May God raise up other Bill and Doreens, and maybe that particular word is for one or maybe more of you, saying, God's stirring in my heart to spend more time in prayer. Well, it's time to pray off a blessing. Thank you, dads, for being here. Thank you, ladies, for being here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here. And I say that on behalf of the Lord. Let me now just pray off a blessing. Way to go, worship team. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness now, because we just love you. We love what you've done in our lives. We go forth with great anticipation. We will see God. And we will see God move. And Lord, there is no fool in this house. Only the fool has said in this house, there is no God. We've come because we recognize there is a God, and he's active in the affairs of men. So therefore, Lord, be very active in everyone who hears my voice. God, move mountains and multiply each person's productivity for the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye. Happy Father's Day.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.